An impressive dream. The first work of Elder D.T. Bordeaux and me in California in 1868 and 1869 was in Petaluma, Windsor, and Pioneer District, 5 miles west of Santa Rosa. The ministers preached against us in all these places. Finally, a noted Christian minister defiantly challenged us for a debate on the Sabbath question. This debate came off on March 22, 1869 at Pioneer. We had been very anxious to start the work in Santa Rosa, the county seat of Sonoma County, and we prayed earnestly that the debate might open the way. The first day of the debate, there was a fair attendance from the city, but on the second day, as stated by the editor of the Sonoma Democrat, everything that could go on wheels went to the debate. After the first day of the debate, Brother Bordeaux and I had an earnest season of prayer that the Lord would make the next day tell mightily for his cause in California. And so it did. On the night of the 29th, the Lord was pleased to give me a very impressive dream. In the dream, we seemed to be endeavoring to get over a mountain and were making some progress in the ascent. Having gone a few hundred feet from the valley, we were confronted with an abrupt rise of high rocks before us, apparently 50 feet high, and as straight up as the side of a house. We saw at once that there was no way we could scale the obstruction. We looked to the left. There was a slanting slope up, but so smooth and glassy we concluded that to attempt to go that way would be a hard undertaking and a failure. Just then a messenger appeared and informed us that we had reached the height to where to ascend, and we would find a pathway around this difficulty and down into the valley to which we wished to go. We followed the directions and found that a perpendicular rock was like a high wall at our left extending around the rock, and that on our right was a deep chasm. The path on which we were to go, while gradually descending, grew narrower and narrower as we advanced, requiring constant care and watchfulness that no misstep be made, and we thus be plunged into the abyss at our right. There seemed also to be a foggy cloud before us that prevented our seeing more than 50 feet ahead. As we advanced, the cloud moved on, so that our immediate pathway was cleared and our progress undisturbed. By and by, as is often the case in a dream, there was a sudden change in the scenery, and we were down in the valley, and the misty cloud was up on the hill on the pathway by which we had come. When and how we got through the cloud, I do not know, but the interpretation given to us was that the Lord had come and his people had been resurrected. There was a vast company of people in the valley, and they were getting abroad a long train of cars, on which all the framework seemed to be of the brightest nickel plate, more beautiful than any millionaire's car I ever saw. Our train glided gently out of the valley with its happy load of passengers. We had gone only a short distance when we came into a broader valley. There seemed to be a railroad with 4 tracks. On 3 of these tracks were trains of cars which extended as far as the eye could reach, loaded with people whose faces shone with the glory of the Lord. The trains were so near together that one could step from one train to another as they passed along, for they all kept exactly even with each other. I saw Brother and Sister White passing from one train to another, greeting the redeemed saints from different states. As our train swung around onto the 4th track and in line with the others, Brother White exclaimed, "And here comes the California train! We are all going to the city!" At this time I awoke, thrilled from head to foot by the thought that this was a token of victory for California. Not only was that debate the turning point in our first efforts in California, but since the infirmities of age creep on me, there has been much thought as to what was meant by Brother Bordeaux and me going unconsciously through that cloud and coming out on the resurrected side. Now a little history of my case. 2 years ago, I was under doctor and nurse 5 days with pneumonia. Last year, with pneumonia again under doctor and nurse, 11 days. This year, with a severe attack of la grippe, under doctor and nurse 5 weeks, and left in so feeble a condition that I venture to attend only 1 camp meeting this year, the one just passed in Stockton. One day on the camp, a sister came to me saying, "You will live till the Lord comes," for a sister told me that on one occasion, when Sister White was speaking in the tabernacle in Battle Creek, Michigan, a number of ministers were on the platform, and you among them, when Sister White said, "Some of you ministers will live until the Lord comes," and pointing to you, said, "And you, Brother Loughborough, will be one of them." I replied to the sister, "It is the first I ever heard of it." She turned away, saying, "Oh, these hearsays." Words frequently come to mind that Sister White did speak to me in the winter of 1858. Brother White had a two-seated carriage and a span of horses that he used in visiting the churches in Michigan. He was necessarily detained by duties in the office of the Review and Herald, and he said to me, "You take these horses and carriage, and your wife and my wife, and visit the churches in Michigan." As we traveled from place to place, there was opportunity for much religious conversation. At one time, the conversation was on the situation when war against the Sabbath keepers would be so that they would have to hide away in desolate places. She looked at me most earnestly for a minute or more, and then said, "Brother John, the Lord has shown me that these early workers, meaning the ministers, who have labored and sacrificed for the building up of the cause, will all be laid away before that time when the people will have to flee," or words to that effect. All the ministers then, 1858, preached the message, were laid in the graves except for J.N. Loughborough. When I think that all does not mean all but one, and think of the earnest look she gave me when she spoke these words, it seems to cut off the idea that I will live through all the decrees that will be passed against Sabbath keepers. Nevertheless, I hope to be among those who will be raised to everlasting life, Daniel 12:12, and see the Lord come as set forth in his little book.